Kane is in the building.
Weather is getting nicer, which means more events, whether it's a wedding or a date, Liberty Shirt Co. has you covered. They're offering three shirts for $333. Now, this may seem like a lot, but this is essentially less money than what you would spend on gas in a month, and the shirts will last a long time. And don't forget to use promo code 3P at checkout to save 10% on all other orders. That's promo code 3P at checkout. You save 10% when you go to www.libertyshirtco.com.
Good evening and welcome back to another episode of the 3P podcast. This is episode 17 of season 5. We're cruising along with this season. Love it. Great content already and great content to come. For this week's episode, I'm your host, Alex Castle, and I always have the pleasure of being joined by
Josh Romowitz
and TJ Hummel.
And tonight, you are in for a real treat, listeners. We have a return guest, one of my favorite guests that we've ever had on the show, and that is Joe Ruback, aka the License Plate Guy. Joe, thank you so much for taking the time to join us again tonight.
Always. Hold on. Did you say episode what, 17?
Yep.
Oh, I just saw this staring at me, so might as well. All right, let's just stick with this.
I love it.
Perfect. 17, let's go.
I love it. The energy's great. Another great episode ahead. And we're going to dive into a lot, not just the Giants, but some off-season moves. We'll talk about the draft as a whole. But before we get into that, I want to paint the fans a picture, Joe. Now, for those who do not follow you, I want you to give a rundown of what the 24 hours of the draft was like, because dedication, I don't even think dedication is the word that I can use to describe what that timetable was like for you. So however you want to go about it, but give the listeners a rundown from when you left New York to head to Vegas to when you came back.
Yeah, I appreciate that, that someone notices that, but you know, I don't do it for that reason. You know, I'm lucky enough to be able to sit, you know, get those draft inner circle tickets, and you know, they don't come along very often. So when I get them, I'm going to treat it like a game. I'm going to go no matter what. So what happened was I talked to my superintendent, you know, schools, and I have, look, guys, I got a job, man. I got to be at it, you know? So, you know, I know this is going to be my 22nd year going to every game. And although my principal and my superintendent, and they know what I do, it's still like, what have you done for me lately? So I can't like be taking all this time, but again, I'm not going to pass it up. So I literally got these tickets and I decided to fly after work. So I took a red eye on Wednesday after school. I think I left at like 8, went all the way through the night, and wound up in Vegas in the morning. Okay, I spent the day on the strip. My plates were laid out. It was so cool because Vegas is never shut down. And like, I'm outside the Bellagio with my plates across the road. It was the coolest thing ever, you know, and Vegas is fun, gorgeous, crazy, and hot as hell. But anyway, I put my plates across and, you know, I'm rocking like 104 plates now. So, you know, I got this big old suitcase I'm dragging down the strip, and then I go to the draft, and obviously my heart is set on nothing but linemen. I don't even want to hear another position. I don't even want to entertain another position. I just want 10, 11, 12, 15 fat slobs with snot dripping from their nose and just battle royale, and may the strong survive. But obviously, if you get a guy like Thibodeau, come on, guys. He was like, he was up there as the number one draft on people's boards, you know, the number one going. So I wasn't upset. Of course not. And of course, with three tackles on the board, you knew the Giants were going to get their guy. And I wanted Neal so bad. And it just turned out it was the luck of the draw with the Jets going Sauce. And then, of course, the Panthers going Icky. So the draft, I don't even think I waited to the very end. I think I waited a few rounds, and I got to go. I got to get my plane. And the funny thing is right outside the hotel where the draft was being held, like, there are no cabs right outside. Like, it's this big, giant party. So here I am with my suitcase walking down the freaking road. Where am I? I don't even know where I'm going. I can't walk to the airport, but I'm literally walking. And I just flagged down a taxi, got in it, got to the airport, took a red eye home, landed at like 7, got to work by 7:45, clocked in. And again, when I do something like that, I'm glad that I'm there for the kids in the morning. I'm absolutely useless as hell that day. Don't even look at me. Don't say anything to me. Don't do anything. Just let me be at work and let me go home and go to sleep. So it was a wild, wild 24 hours. And I will tell you that when the Giants make their pick, the draft pick comes down to the fans and they stand in front of us. Me at that point, and Thibodeau was there, and I say, KT, I'm like, you better shine, man. I didn't want you at 5, but I wanted you at 7. He looked me dead in my face and said, I wasn't going to be there. And I was like, you right, let's take this pick. You know, so it was really, it was awesome. Also, I think the Giants hit a home run.
It's funny because I believe on the telecast on ABC, as soon as the Giants picked Thibodeau at 5 and they showed the fan clubs you're talking about, you're right in the front. So I remember seeing you, your body is like collapsed. You see your face is just, what did the Giants do? And then sure enough, Neal is taken at 7. And then you're just celebrating like the Giants won the Super Bowl because of it.
You know, it's funny you say that because, you know, I got the same reaction when I got caught with the Daniel Jones, and the same thing with Daniel Jones. I didn't hate Daniel Jones. I didn't want Daniel Jones at 6. I wanted freaking Devin White, who was already taken. And then I wanted Josh Allen, the defensive end. I just didn't want Daniel Jones there. It was the same thing. If anybody out there is upset with Kayvon Thibodeau being picked, then you just don't know football. Okay. I want the best for this guy. Obviously, he's a Giant. I'm extremely happy. And getting Neal just summed up a terrific draft. And then getting more offensive linemen. I couldn't be happier with this draft.
I agree. And I think the Giants ultimately did win the draft, especially in that first round. Being able to get arguably the two best prospects in Thibodeau and Neal. But I'm a Jeff fan. I'm not a Giant fan. What do you think of how we did? Like you mentioned at the top, we got Sauce at 4. We had Garrett Wilson at 10. And then being able to trade back in the first round, which you may not have even saw because you had to catch a red eye. They traded back at 26 to get Jermaine Johnson. So what did you think of the Jets draft?
I mean, did I see it or did I care? Which one? No, I'm only kidding. So look, as far as the Jets are concerned, you know, Sauce was linked to the Giants and the Jets for a while. This is no shade to the Jets or to Sauce, but, you know, I was a Stingley fan, junior, and
a lot of,
know,
people were. I was too for a while.
Right, you could have went either way. I think the Jets also hit a home run, getting Sauce. I think he's going to be that type of player. The jury is out as far as Johnson is concerned, because I do think he's a good player, but I always felt like, this was funny, I always felt when Haskins was taken, I went on record and I said, Haskins is going to be like one cheeseburger away from Jamarcus Russell. And I had the same feeling about Johnson. However, Haskins turned it around and he was in some sick shape after that. So You know, he totally proved me wrong. Obviously, rest in peace. It was his birthday a couple of days ago or a week ago. But I got that same feeling with Johnson. He's going to have to prove himself. I think he could be a beast. He's got to stay the path, and we'll see what happens. But again, you guys did a good job. Just a little less than the Giants.
Hey, no, it's not a competition in terms of draft picks right now. But I do, before TJ asks, I do want to know if there was any like talk at the draft as to why Johnson fell so late, because he was projected to be a top 10, top 15 pick, and he fell all the way down to 26. So I'm curious if you had any insight on that.
No, when you're there, it's just a bunch of crazy, you know, fans that are going nuts. No one really talks about why. They just talk about the pick at hand. There was nothing that I could see. As a matter of fact, if anybody's going to get that information, it would have been you guys watching TV and listening to all those people. You know, I don't get the luxury of listening to that. I don't even get the luxury when I'm at games. I don't see any kind of replays. I don't see nothing. I'm like the worst of the fan, you know, like I'm the worst. I'm either watching it or I don't hear crap.
Yeah, and it kind of brings me to like my next question. And speaking of like hearing reports and insights, what's your take on the whole report of the Giants taking Charles Cross in the first round? And was it like a smokescreen by Joe Shane, or was it a legit report that he was getting taken at seven and or trading back that pick?
So TJ, really good question. Look, I have some sources. That was obviously not a true report. People that ran with that, you know, shame on them. Get it? Shane on them, get it? No, I'm just kidding. It's not something that Joe Shane did. That was an absolute fallacy. So don't believe everything you read. However, you can't tell me that the Giants weren't interested in Cross. I believe they were. But if Cross was on my board, which he was, Cross was my fourth guy. I'm just talking about me. And I'm no pro scout. I don't work for the Giants. So you could take my board and throw it in the garbage. But I guess I was pretty much okay, huh? Because the way it worked out, what was he, the third one, fourth one taken or the third? Neil Icky was, who else
third.
Was taking?
He was third.
He was the third one. Okay. Yeah. So third, fourth. So it really played out like everybody thought it would. Neil Icky, Neil, whoever was going to go 1-2, it brings me back to when I wanted Wirfs on the Bucs. I wanted him over Thomas. However, it was 1A, 1B for me. I didn't care. And so here I am. Oh, by the way, I didn't have a iguano. I didn't have an Icky nameplate. Thank God I got Neil, because I had a Neil nameplate ready to rock and roll.
I love that. And I'm actually really glad that that question was asked, because I couldn't wrap my head around the idea of us trading the seventh pick or going after Cross with all these other guys on the board. I mean, you know, you can ask Josh. We were driving up to Connecticut on the way to the draft, and when KT was taken at five, I was a little frustrated, because I was like, with these rumors going, now we're going to miss out on Neil and everything. But I almost jumped through the roof of my car when we got Neil at seven. I mean, I was just that ecstatic about it. So
yeah, I'm the same as you. I you know, we weren't upset at getting a player like KT. It just wasn't the player that we wanted at that time. And I've been on record, you know, you guys know, I made t-shirts for Christ's sake that said Nineman. So you know where I wanted to go. You know what? I also, it's funny you say that, because I look at the Cross thing. Like, do you guys remember when Tunsil was high on the Giants draft board and then that pick came out of him?
Yep.
Wasn't that was the Eli Apple draft, right? I believe it was the Eli Apple draft. It wasn't the Eric Flowers draft.
No.
So, but why I bring it up is what you just said, bro. It's like, are you kidding me? We're going to go reach on an offensive tackle when that's our main priority? So So I still wanted him even after that freaking bong picture. But anyway, I'm with you 100%. But at the end of the day, everything worked out.
It really did. And, you know, it's so refreshing to have a new GM who's young, who's really hip with what we need and what's going on. And it's just so great. And that brings me to my next question is I really think Joe Shane's football IQ is what this team needed to rebuild. And I think as the Giants will progress, he'll get more credit. Now, when we look at the picks for this draft, do you feel that there was a pick that we took, whether it was, you know, the first pick after Neal, which I think was the receiver from Kentucky, or the last pick? Do you think that there's a pick that your initial reaction was, no, I don't know why we went in this direction, but you could see it working with this new system in the future?
Yeah, another great question. So again, when you're there and when you're watching on TV are two different things. And what I mean by that is you can't tell me shit, pardon my language. As I'm sitting with KT, sitting with Neil, I don't even know what the hell is going on after that, nor do I care. You know, so it's like, what's up? Yo, you're giant. It's crazy. And then you're telling me about a draft pick. Who do we get? Great. It could have been my grandmother. It wouldn't have mattered. It really wouldn't have mattered. But, you know, when you get home and you break down who they got, I want to know how much of the fan base or how many guys like you guys that do podcasts and all this, you guys have a draft board. Do you know everything about every player? I can't stand mock drafts and this and that. Look, let Dave's and let Shane pick who they have on their board, like the Kentucky's receiver, Wandell. I want to see him with five wide. I want to see what the hell Dave's going to do. You know, they asked Shane, why, or was it Dave's? They asked Dave's, well, what would you do with Wandell? What are you going to do? You're going to go five wide? He goes, yeah. They go, why? He goes, because I can. And I love that answer. I mean, I loved it, bro. Who are you going to guard? And I do believe that he's going to use him, and knock on wood, if Shep stays healthy, because I'm a huge Shep fan, but he just can't stay healthy. And to be honest with you, I think KT, the other one, is unbelievable. And I wanted him so bad at 20, and I got him. He was my pick. I didn't want him at 11. Giants traded. And I think the Giants hit a home run. I'm scared about the things that you read, but maybe this new, you know, regime is going to get him focused. And I believe all these picks are going to work out just fine. And if they don't, next man up. I am extremely pumped up for Bellinger. He's one of my, he just looks like a big bear Pasco to me. I think he's going to be solid. I think he's going to drive people into the dirt.
Yeah, I can't really like come back with that. I also liked Kadarius Toney a lot, and a lot of Giant fans I think didn't like the pick last year originally just because they had acquired Kenny Galladay and they had Shepard, they had Slayton, so it was just, this is a fourth receiver. Why would you take him in the first round?
I mean, you still needed him, and Shep always was getting hurt, so you still needed a breakout player like that. Look, I treat KT like I did, you know, Neal this year or Thibodeau this year. Once that pick happened, once that trade happened and the Giants got a number one pick, I think Giant fans were kind of happy at that time. And then, of course, everybody's going to be upset when you don't get someone that is supposed to be sitting on every single buddy's board. You know, every Giant fan's going to go, oh, why the hell did they do that? They suck. You're going to get that. That's going to happen. And everybody's going to lose their, you know, their self on stuff that probably doesn't matter. And, you know, the Giants have not done such a very good job at draft picks in the later rounds. So let's hope that these guys did their homework enough that they come away with some really, some just unbelievable finds.
So My next question is a giant question. A giant that was taken in the later rounds. What are your expectations for Slayton this year? Do you think that he'll have a bounce back year, or you think this is kind of like, yeah, he's going to be seeing his way out shortly?
I believe that the rumors were true, that Slayton was shopped a little bit. I believe Slayton is going to be fighting for his job. I truly believe it. The Giants got some wide receivers. They even went to free agency. They even went to undrafted, you know, draft picks. So I believe it's going to be a free for all in the wide receiver room, and I expect the same thing in the lineman room.
Hey, competition is great.
I love it.
So speaking of kind of unknowns and having to prove stuff this year, we all know that the Giants aren't picking up DJ's fifth year option. What does that mean for him as our starting quarterback this year? And what does it mean going forward if he can't make expectations?
Yeah, TJ, look, it sucks for the Giants because when he wins a Super Bowl this year, they're going to have to give him a shit ton of money. It's going to be unbelievable how much money they got to give him. But look, it didn't take a rocket scientist to know that they weren't going to pick it up. There was no reason to pick it up. I'm a big Daniel Jones supporter. I believe that, and I think everybody should be, it's your quarterback. And until you have someone that takes the place, that's the guy you're rolling with. I believe it's put up or shut up, which we've been saying for years about him anyway. But this is on you, DJ. This is on you, bro. We're only going to go as far as you. And let's say DJ takes the Giants in the playoffs. Like, holy cow, this guy put up 9-10 wins. Giants, got into the playoffs, wild card or not. Great job. You know what? We're going to sign DJ again. We're going to franchise him. Do it again. So DJ doesn't really have 1 year. He's got to prove himself 2 years. Because if he does it this year, he's gone. If he does this year, he might be gone next year.
Very similar to Dak with the Cowboys.
That's right.
Yeah, and kind of on the one more castle before I go. What do you think he's going to do this year? And especially with the quote from Dave saying that they're just going to let him be free. He's off the chain. He can do what he wants. What can we as Giants fans expect from an unleashed Daniel Jones?
Yeah. By the way, are you quoting my tweet on my Instagram post?
It might be.
I only say that because I found out after, and I'm going on record right now, but I found out after that it was made up, that entire quote. But TJ, take it. I don't care either. Yeah, I see you. I don't care either, bro. I love this.
I'll take it.
I'm going to go to my grave saying, yeah, Shane said that, and or Dave said that. So what? So I'm going with that too. I'm with you. Well, I don't care that it was fake. But I do believe somebody, I think I got a bet with somebody, and I said something like 33 TDs and 8 interceptions. Yeah, I said it. Ain't going to happen.
It's a hill you're going to stand on, you're going to die on.
No, I can't die on that hill. We had no wide receivers with any touchdowns, bro. Maybe give me a freaking, give me a 5 spot. Give me something. Give me something.
I feel you.
It's going to be a very big year for him. I want to be there for Jones. And I think he has the pieces now. I think that the Giants really have made the necessary moves, not only in the draft, but in the offseason too. We got, we got the center from the Bills, Feliciano. We got the guy from the Colts. So we've made the moves. And I don't think defense needs to be adjusted as much as offense right now. So I think, that was successful and all. But do you think, Joe, that there was any moves that the Giants didn't make during the offseason that you were kind of like, oh, I think they could have gone there, or oh, maybe they're neglecting this more than they think?
Great question. I have to say that The Giants are not in very good shape on defense, bro. They don't have some. They don't have a backfield. I believe that they might have some surprises, but the loss of Bradberry hurts. Everybody's like, oh, who cares? Let him walk. Yeah, okay. Next man up. Who's that? So I believe that hurt. I was upset that they couldn't move him. I'm upset for both parties. I am a James Bradberry fan. I thought the Giants should have tried to move him a little harder, but the Giants did their job. I heard that a deal was in place with the Texans, and Bradberry didn't want to either go another year or something fell through, and that's not on the Giants. That's on Bradberry. So he kind of held him hostage, and therefore the Giants had to let him go. You know, it's a tough business, man. It's a tough business. So, you know, it's funny. I was talking to him a couple of days before he was let go. And I was like, you know, JB, I just want to let you know, like, if these Eagle rumors are true, like, you and I are going to have a big problem, bro. And he's like, he came back with the greatest line to me. He's like, yeah, I thought that would ruffle some feathers. I'm like, yeah, don't get coy with me, bro. Don't get coy with me. And we just went back and forth for a little bit. And, you know, hey, he's a free agent. He's probably going to sign with, I think, the Eagles, and that's going to suck. And we just got to hold our breath that maybe he goes downhill from here.
Yeah, it was really unfortunate how that panned out. I mean, the way that I look at it with him was he had that Pro Bowl season, and then the next season there was such a decline that the Giants kind of just threw in the towel with him right away, which I don't think they should have done, because him paired with Adoree Jackson, that's a nice duo if you can figure out what to do with Bradberry.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. The Giants scheme, you know, no shade to Bradberry. Well, maybe a little shade. You know, he got exposed a little bit, bro. And McKinney saved his ass a bunch of times. But I still think he's a hell of a player. And you know, you lose someone of that caliber, and then you're trying to replace him with and there are some free agents out there, by the way, that the Giants will pick one up. And if not, we'll wait till somebody gets cut on another team and pick them up. But there's a lot of free agents out there that are ties to Dable and to Shane. So we'll see what happens with that. Giants aren't going to roll with no one right now. They're not going to roll with just whoever they have right now. So everything works itself out. Look, bottom line is this, fellas. The Giants are not a Super Bowl team. Maybe they're on the cusp of a playoff team. But who knows? They haven't even put together a winning record team. So the Giants are a few years away. I just want competitive football. I'm tired of going to games, and in the first quarter, I'm like, great, when's my flight? And it just, you know, that sucks. And that's been, and I've been doing that for a long time. Look, this is my 22nd year going to every game. And back in the day, it was kind of fun. It's not so fun. It's not so much fun right now. So you just give me some competitive football and I'll be happy.
You and me both.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Josh. You've got the same problem.
I think a little longer. You've at least witnessed Super Bowls.
Facts.
No, but you mentioned the Eagles, but I want to talk about one of the moves they made on draft night, which kind of shocked the league, and that was trading for A.J. Brown. And you're giving me that face because I don't think you're too happy about that. There's another move, though, that was made. And that was Hollywood Brown going to the Cardinals. So I'm going to ask you, which one of those two do you think will have a bigger impact? Hollywood Brown to the Cardinals, and with DeAndre Hopkins now being suspended the first few games, or A.J. Brown, you pair him up with a young receiver, Devonta Smith, and Jalen Hurts, who a lot of people think he's to make or miss year for him.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Hollywood because of what you just said. The you know, being suspended, that definitely hurts. So he's going to have to step up, and I believe he's going to be the go-to. And again, you took the words right out of my mouth. I didn't like Brown going to the Eagles, but I don't care because they got Hurts and he's no good. And no one's going to get Brown the ball. So I'm happy about that. They're not going nowhere. He's going to go backwards. He is not going to go forward. They're going to be looking for a quarterback in a year or two. So I love that. Yeah, I'm on record. He's terrible.
Speaking of questionable quarterbacks, Where do you think the Giants stack up this year in the NFC East, especially with Carson Wentz coming back and forefronting the Washington Commanders?
You want my rose-colored glasses answer, or do you want my real answer?
I would love the realest answer possible.
Giants are winning the NFC East. No, look, until someone knocks out Dak in the regular season, the Dallas Cowboys are obviously the hated Dallas Cowboys are obviously the front runners again. I believe that the Giants could give the Eagles a run for their money, but I still believe that the Giants are sitting, you know, in that 2-3 spot. And look, it's kind of comical that we never give the Commanders their due, but until they prove something, until they win something, I don't know. They're really not going to go anywhere. So I'm giving you my order of Dallas, Giants, Eagles, Commanders.
I'm going to go on record and say Washington finishes higher than Dallas. only because their defense is healthy this year. Chase Young coming back is about to be a difference maker.
I don't disagree with you, but Carson Wentz is not a very good quarterback.
Yeah, no, that's the issue. I don't think Ezekiel Elliott is a good running back now.
I disagree. I think he's a productive running back. And I think you go as far as your quarterback more than you do your running back.
That is true. Even if, okay, they'll win the NFC East then, but they'll still be a first round exit again.
I'm on board with that 100%.
There's a lot of different storylines for our division this season. And for me, out of all the games and the different fans that I've interacted with, and Joe, maybe you've had a different experience. I want Philly to be last. I remember a couple of seasons ago, I was sitting by some Philly fans and I just don't understand them. I mean, I can't even get into it, but they're the team that I want at the bottom. Maybe I'm being a little optimistic, but I think if the Giants can get a consistency going, we might have a shot. I mean, this is, you know, we talked about earlier that Daniel Jones is going to be free. He's going to be with a head coach who's offensive minded and who likes to get creative, and offensive coordinators coming from a system with one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
I'm on board with you, but you know, I can't believe that I'm actually arguing this because I'm literally the biggest homer on the planet. But with that said, give me the last 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of the Giants record.
Yeah.
You know, without the McAdoo 11-5, like give me the record. Like unless you are winning, shut up. Like everybody's good on paper, you know, like I'm tired of it. Put up or shut up. And everybody's tired. The Giants fan base, although we get extremely happy once the draft is over and we're ready and we look at it on paper, we're like, yeah. But honestly, everybody does that shit on paper. So until the Giants do something, we're a frustrated and fractured fan base.
Yeah, that, you know, I mean, I went to the Rams game last year and came home from Connecticut, met my family at they tailgated and everything, and I met them there. I was there for one quarter, and after half, I left. And I hated that. Giants are my favorite sports organization across the board. I shouldn't be leaving after one quarter. I mean, it's, you know, so I hope there's a turnaround. And maybe this season is the start. You know, I saw earlier today, I saw that you posted that schedule. I don't think that's official yet. I think we're still waiting for everything to come out across the
board. No, I think at this point now it is official.
Now it is official. Okay.
If it's not official, it's official.
Okay. All right. So with that being said, I want your opinion about the schedule. You think that this is a more doable schedule with what we got going into the season? You think it's a good, you know, spread of everything? We're back in London, so that's going to be exciting against Green Bay. How do you feel about it going into the season?
No, I'm pissed. I'm pissed that the Giants are rebuilding when we got a shit schedule like that. I think the schedule favors the Giants. And right now, they're part of that crap schedule. Everybody's looking to face the Giants. They say the same thing we're saying. You know, oh, great, we got the Giants. We got a shit schedule. And so I'm upset that I can't be upset. I want that schedule every year.
Each of the four NFC East teams are the lowest four strength of schedules in the NFL.
Right. And the Giants are rebuilding. So that says enough about our schedule. Do I think it's a doable schedule? Yeah. Do I think the Giants could win? Yeah. Show me.
Alex had hinted at it before, and it's the Giants are back in London again. This is our third time, I believe, going over there. And I know you're excited to go over the pond and go enjoy some football over there. What's that going to be like? What's that entail for you? And what you look forward to most about traveling over and watching the Giants play in London?
Yeah, so I'm excited. It is the third time. They you know, can't beat them. Over the pond, you can't beat them. The Rams couldn't beat them. Dolphins couldn't beat them before that. And now the Packers won't be able to beat them. But I get excited on several fronts. I got to tell you, obviously, I look forward to Giants football. But I also look forward to this charity piece that I got going on. And I don't know if you guys saw, but, you know, I knew Sam Prince before Sam announced that pick. And by the way, guy's got more energy than anybody ever met in my life. And if he's not part of the coaching staff, I don't know why. And if he's not announcing the Giants number one pick for the next 20 years, I don't know why. But, you know, when I saw Sam at the draft and we chatted for a little bit, I decided to get a little sponsor going. And I got Leonardo's Deli, this deli I always post about near my house. They bought two airline tickets and two tickets to the game. It values got to be between $7,000 and $10,000, and I'm picking the winner on Tuesday. I think Sam will be with me, and we're going to pick the winner and send someone over to London. So I get excited on lots of fronts. I think I'm going to wind up getting another sponsor. I'm going to get another set of tickets going. So I get excited about the Giants charity, my platform, and what I'm able to do with it. And just to raise that kind of money for Make-A-Wish, I mean, come on, man, you can't beat that.
No, that's incredible, Joe. And that's what we kind of harped on last episode is all the charity work that you do. With, you know, it really just separates you from the super fan. You know, anyone can show up to every game and put in the dedication, but you take your profile, your platform, and you go above and beyond. And that's what I think makes you really, really special and a great representation of the fan base. And before we wrap things up, I want to give you this opportunity. If there's any other charities or anything you got in the works, feel free to, you know, let the listeners know, get that out there, spread the word. I saw recently you had I don't know what it was for. You had a stack of Kyle Rudolph signed cleats. That was really cool. So what's the future looking like with these charitable events?
Yeah. So first off, thank you for bringing that up. And I got to tell you, I say this all the time. I do have a good platform, but I only have that platform because of Giant fans. So if you really think about it, if I was, you know, I was getting rid of this candle right here and I'm putting it on my Instagram or my Twitter, Giant fans are the ones buying the raffles. I'm just supplying. I'm just putting it up. I'm just putting it up like, hey, guys, you want this? And then we raise money for charity. So thank God I have that type of platform. And when you have that, you get to do great things with it. And that's why I tell everybody, like, you know, I don't take what I do for granted. Like it's like a second job for me. This is tough. When I'm doing it, it's tough. But when I'm able to give, you know, over $120,000, $130,000, I think I'm at almost $150,000 for charities. Like, I'm sorry, you can't beat that. And I love it. You might do me a favor. You might hate me. You might be jealous of me. I'm talking about fans out there. You might hate me because I'm a friend with a player or hate me because I'm able to talk to JB on DM. Ooh, but you know what you can't say? You can't say that I don't give back. So when somebody says, I always tell people this all the time when they're starting out, I'm like, you know what? People are going to talk bad about you. Let them. As long as they don't forget about the good stuff too. They can say whatever they want. Don't leave out the good stuff though. Got to give them some credit there. So as far as charitable work, I am going to get another sponsor. I am going to put it out there. I probably will have another two tickets coming up. So stay tuned. Because, you know, I always got some special crap going on. You never know. You never know what I got store.
I love just scrolling through Instagram, and whenever a story pops up with like some new memorabilia, I love it because it can be, you know, an old Giants player, a new Giants player. I love it. But anyone that talks crap about you, you send them to the Giants fan base and we'll take care of them because they're not really taking the time to see the work that you're doing. So
I appreciate it, guys. And I'm sorry for holding you up tonight, man. I can't stop playing pickleball, guys. I can't do it, bro. It's an addiction. It's like my Giants addiction.
Hey, listen, the sport's on the rise. I mean, my grandfather, he's over 80 and he plays it religiously.
You're the people I fight with every day to tell me, oh, y'all like split guy. What are you, 85? I'm like, it's not 85 anymore.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm just kidding. But, it is an older person sport. Until you start seeing it now on ESPN and when you're scrolling through TikTok. And did you see my story yesterday about my friend who I used to play basketball with every day? It was hilarious, bro. He sends me this message. He went into the hood. We go into the city to play basketball. And he's like, yo, I'm ready for my regular game. And then pickleball on the court. And I was just dying, bro. I was dying.
I love that. That's great. But yeah, no, we're very thankful that you're able to join us as always. We're glad that you make it on. Come talk about, you know, the Giants, the good, the bad, your charitable work, everything. So we want to thank you again for taking the time. And who knows, maybe down the road we'll get you on again, run it at some point. But truly, truly always an honor to have you on.
Like Alex, TJ, Josh, thank you. Congratulations on getting to 17. Keep it rolling. And let's do this again real soon.
Absolutely.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Take care. I just want to recap quickly. Joe Ruback, amazing guest. So fortunate to have him on. Big moment for me and TJ as Giants fans. Josh, your history with him, I know this is always special for you. So, Joe, thank you again. If you guys haven't already, checked out his Instagram, Twitter, the license plate guy. A lot of great content. But guys, we've been talking football. We've been talking basketball, hockey. But we got to start spreading the news about another sport. And that is baseball. And Stevie could not be here this week. But this segment's for you, my friend, because we have the best record in baseball, 22-8. There's something going on with the water in the Bronx right now. I don't know what it is, but these boys are on fire. We're beating the top teams in our division. Our guys are actually hitting the ball. Judge is looking great. He's staying healthy. So, Josh, let's start off with you. I mean, there's a lot of different avenues that we can go, but what would you say has been the biggest reason that we can say as Yankee fans that we have the best record in baseball?
TJ, you're about to agree with me on this, but I'm calling out Steve right now because of his ridiculous take when we talked Yankees when you were out for the week, Castle. Stevie was panicking and worrying like Gerrit Cole, this isn't the 30 million pitcher that we signed him. He's looking horrible. And I was like, Steve, relax. It's two starts into the season with no spring training. He's rusty. It happens. Gerrit Cole hasn't allowed a run in three starts. He's pitched six innings three straight times. He's looking like an ace. All of our starting pitchers have an ERA under three. Our hitters are getting timely hits. They may not be lighting up the scoreboard every night, but they're getting timely hits. Gleyber Torres has had a resurgence the last week or two. He's looking really sharp. He's making Aaron Boone's job a lot tougher, trying to decide who to sit, who's the odd man out. which is always a great problem to have for managers. Because right now, I would say Aaron Hicks is probably the odd man out, when in reality, it should have been Gleyber Torres because of how bad on defense he is. But even someone like Aaron Hicks, he's been leading off. He gets on base. So it's a good problem that Aaron Boone has when he's left with his really tough decision. And he'll be able to get guys like Judge and Stanton and Donaldson, those older guys, well, not Judge, but the older vets, more days off so they aren't wearing out their bodies at the 100 game mark. So I think that is probably the best thing right now going for the Yankees, is their bats being alive and their starting pitchers are getting deep into the innings. And then the bullpen is one of the best, if not the best in baseball. Chapman allowed his first run yesterday, and it was a sack fly. He has 10 saves. I believe he's top two, top three in the league in saves already. He's looking like the Chapman that we know as the dominant Aroldis Chapman. So I think that's a huge part. So all in all, it looks like everything from the Yankees is clicking. Their fielding is one of the best, which we haven't seen in years. So Stevie, I know you're listening. This segment is for you, because I want you to go to the archives where you are ranting about the Yankees and how things have flipped.
And, it's funny. I don't know if we've talked about it on, during an episode or behind the scenes, but there was some talk amongst us that we were done with Gleyber in some ways, that he needed to be traded. He wasn't fitting the scheme anymore. You could correct me if I'm wrong. I think one of his most recent stat lines was 2-for-4 with a home run and like 5 RBIs.
Yeah, he accounted for all the runs yesterday and yesterday's win.
That's the Gleyber that I know and that I really enjoy. So I'm glad to see that. I love how you brought...
And his defense is also not being talked about as much, because he's more comfortable at second base. And that's the Gleyber that you were alluding to, is the one that we know, we love, is the baby bomber when he came up with Judge and Gary Sanchez, the baby bombers, the homegrown talent. He's a natural second baseman, and he looks like it. When he was at short, he was very uncomfortable, and that's what really messed him up last year and the year before. A lot of errors, which translated to poor hitting. Now that he's a full-time second baseman with no need to be short, there's a big difference.
Absolutely. And I love it. And I love that you talked about Chapman. We've talked about him quite a lot on the show. One of my references that I made when Chapman was struggling was the Cuban Missile Crisis Part 2, and we got good feedback from that, so I'm going to bring that back and say that the Cuban Missile Crisis Yankees edition, or pinstripe edition, is currently neutralized, and let's hope it stays that way. So we've talked a lot of positives so far. Josh, I loved your point about how the hitting has been so successful, how it gives these older guys the opportunity to rest, and it gives Boone the opportunity to play around with the lineup a little bit. And I want to talk about Boone now, TJ. And that brings my question to you. I guess it's a two-parter. One, how much credit do you give Boone for the success that they've had so far? And two, with what we've seen in the past, are you afraid of negative adjustments from him in the future?
Well, I'm going to answer your second part and go no off the bat. And then I'm going to give my answer to back that up as the answer to part one. Josh and I had talked about it when we were talking about the Yankees with Stevie. We were pretty high on Aaron Boone, even though the Yankees weren't looking too hot. He finally has the tools where he can make all these lineup changes now and put out a consistently good lineup every game. That's something we didn't see. We were seeing like a lot of players being forced into positions they weren't comfortable in, like Josh had pointed with Gleyber playing shortstop. And he just didn't seem to have control over like over get, like giving a lineup, if you will. But this year so far, and I'm sure Josh will agree with me again, like we're still very, very high on Aaron Boone. We've seen a complete 180 compared to last year and the season before, where he can actually put out a lineup where guys are playing in their positions that they're supposed to play, and he's putting guys out in the batting order that are consistent, batting leadoff, third spot, cleanup, and the list goes on. I'm very high on Aaron Boone so far. I don't think there's going to be any changes. And if there are, that's only because of injuries, and injuries are going to happen. And to that, I just say it's next man up, like it always has been with this Yankee squad.
Way to quote Joe Ruback there, next man up. No, but I agree with you, because I'm going to take it a step further and say that I'm really liking what I've seen with Aaron Boone. And I know this time last year, I would not have said that. But I think that goes to what you were talking about with being able to have the depth and being able to have guys get those days off, which were much needed. I also like his fiery passion, which we've seen in Flurries here and there over the years. But you look at the Texas series, you look at the Toronto series, you see Twitter clips, Instagram clips of Boone spitting his gum out at the ump, yelling, getting in their face. Infamous quotes of yelling at the ump that about Judge getting called strikes being unfairly because he's 6'7". I can't say the rest of it because of expletives. But that's the manager that the Yankees need. The fiery, passionate guys that the Yankee players want to play for. And it's very obvious that all the guys want to play for Boone right now because of that passion and energy that he's bringing day in and day out. And as a fan, it is a really good thing to see, because we haven't seen that from Boone. It looks like a new manager right now.
It's interesting you brought this up, because I was having a conversation about Yankees managers at dinner last night, and we brought up Joe Girardi and what he's been doing with the Phillies. So this question goes out to either of you guys. What was being discussed was that he's not doing that well. He's getting thrown out a lot. And that indicates to me that he's getting in the face of the ump and he's showing emotion. Didn't see too much of that when he was the Yankees manager, but I saw some glimpses of it. So with that being said, you look at both of these guys and you look at their success and, you know, their ups and downs. And what do you guys see as the big difference with the style of Boone versus Girardi when the Yankees are hot and doing well? And like I said, this goes out to either of you guys.
Huh. That's a tough one, because Girardi,
I know it's a tough one.
I think Girardi was more so inherited a really great team. When he came in, it was the end years of Jeter, so he really didn't have to be the leader per se. And yes, the Yankees have vets on this team, but it's a significantly younger team that he has. So he has to be more of the leader and also rely on guys like Rizzo and Judge to also be leaders. But when Girardi was the manager, it was Jeter, it was Mo, it was Andy Pettit, CeCe, all of these Yankee legends. So he didn't really need to be the leader as much. He could just be I don't want to call him a cheerleader, because it's far from it being the manager of the Yankees. But in a way, the fiery, passionate dude where, you know what, if he wouldn't mind getting thrown out here and there, because if that's what it takes to fire up a Jeter or an A-Rod or a Teixeira after a 0-for-15 slump, then so be it. And I think we're starting to see some of that with Boone. So in a way, they're similar, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think you answered, for a tough question, I think you answered it well. I mean, it doesn't matter what the sport is. What separates a good coach, a great coach, a good manager, a great manager is what you can do with the cards that you're dealt. And Aaron Boone, he was dealt some aces, but he was also dealt some not so great cards. So I think he's taking what he has and he's riding with it. And he's taking that leadership position and he's doing great. And it's very refreshing for us to see a Yankees team succeed. I mean, this well, at least, I mean, we have a long way to go, but it's looking good. And, you know, last thing I want to harp on is, you know, just the picture of our division right now. We got to look, I want to briefly talk about the team that's last. And I want to talk about the team that's last because when I watched Boston last summer play, granted it was the Twins, but I saw a good team. I saw guys that were young, that can hit the ball, that can field well. It wasn't just the big names like Bogarts and Devers. It was other guys too. Granted, Chris Sale was pitching. He's not healthy right now, as far as I know still. So it was a little bit different. But I want to start with you, TJ. I know you're one of us, but you do have a small piece of your heart for Boston sports. So I'll ask you, what is going on with the Red Sox?
Wearing red in honor of them, I think.
No.
No, this shirt is the New York skyline with all the Giants legends.
Red is an honorary Giants color. You look back in the archives, we did have a red jersey. Don't know if that'll ever come back. But my question for you is, what do you think is going on now with them? And there's been talk about not re-signing both Bogarts and Devers, or that's questionable. Do you think the fact that they're even behind Baltimore changes the scheme of that a little bit? I know it's early to say, but big picture, what is going on at Fenway?
Well, first and foremost, someone has to feed the kids. They're hungry. The Red Sox haven't been winning games. And if you're unfamiliar, 99 Restaurants has a deal where if the Red Sox win the next day, the kids eat free. Someone's got to feed the kids out of the 99 Restaurant at this point.
They're 4-11 at home right now.
Yeah. So, Castle, my heart lies with the Celtics and the Bruins. So I could care less about what's going on in Boston, other than that they're at the bottom of the AL East behind the Baltimore Orioles. I've seen just really bad baseball being played in Fenway. And even on the road, they don't look like the Red Sox that we're used to looking at. And to answer your question about Bogarts and Devers, we've seen it before. They didn't want to sign Mookie Betts, and look what happened. He got traded with David Price over to the Dodgers, and we all know where Mookie's gone since. So I wouldn't be shocked to see them not bring them back. I wouldn't be shocked to see a full rebuild going at the deadline. I think the Red Sox are going to be massive sellers, and if they keep going the way it is, they won't be there come trade deadline.
And I just want to jump on to some of the things that you said, because this is definitely worth elaborating on. Boston built their team on hitting, and it seems like only hitting, because it's not like they have great fielders. Devers and Bogarts are, I believe, below average in their positions for fielding. Both rack up a lot of errors, but they make up for it with their bats. Right now, they're hitting. Devers is the only one who's consistently hitting. Bogarts, who is well above a 300 hitter, is not even close to that right now. Their first baseman, Bobby Dalbec, who is a young kid, was supposed to be their star first baseman for years to come, is looking like he's going to be traded. Trevor Story is nowhere to be seen, and he's getting more days off than they anticipated because of how cold he's been. Nothing that they're doing is working. And I mean, I'm loving it. You boys are loving it. So I can't complain. And then on top of the hitting issues, it's well documented about their pitching, both bullpen and rotation. So they're generating barely any runs, and then their pitchers are just mediocre at best right now, especially without Chris Sale. That's why they're below the Orioles right now in the standings and 11 and a half games below the New York Yankees. So it's a good time to be a Yankee. And if you're a Boston sports fan, become a TJ fan. Celtics, Bruins, and only New York after that.
If there's anyone, Boston fans or fans who live relatively close to the area where you can support them, follow the man of many hats. He knows the way. He's the man of many hats for a reason.
I've been told growing up that I've chosen the right path in both New England and New York sports. So I wear that hat very proudly.
You have, you know, you, I mean, hockey, I can't really speak on too much. Boston, you know, the Celtics, they've got a lot of young prospects. I like that team. When it came to the football teams, you pick the team that beat Brady twice in the Super Bowl, so you can't go wrong there. But it's very interesting with Boston, and it's definitely this Red Sox team we're going to continue to talk about more. We're going to continue to talk about the Yankees. Hopefully next time it's with Mr. Bonazzo, and we can get his real reaction. And I'm looking forward to that. And even though we're on episode 17, that does not mean we're slowing down. We're going to keep pumping out content because we got so much more to go. But that will conclude this week's episode. And as always, we want to give our thank yous. First, one more thank you to LPG Joe Ruback for taking the time out of his day to come on. I mean, you guys, the listeners, heard his journey with the NFL draft. I mean, the guy went to work after taking the red eye. I mean, that's just pure dedication. So thank you, Joe. I want to thank our partners and sponsors, Liberty Shirt Co. Summertime's rolling out. They're coming out with some new products. You definitely want to go check them out. Picnic, barbecue, going to the bar, whatever your occasion might be, go wear one of their shirts. Go check them out. Great quality shirts. Next, we want to thank OP Sportsbook. They're sharing our content a lot. They're still in the works, but once they are live to go, we will be reporting more on that. We're very excited for what's to come to that. For those of you who don't know, this is a sportsbook that uses the concept of using crypto to bet games, which is a whole new look. I don't know too much about crypto. I don't know about you guys, but I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say about that. And last but certainly not least, we want to thank Wild Chat Sports and Kevin, continuing to pump out great content, great partner of ours since the beginning. So go check them out. Oh, and how could I forget? Social media, the man of many hats. TJ, thank you for all that you do. We're going to continue to explode on the Instagram, coming up with some new ideas behind the scenes. So be on the lookout for that. And thank you all for listening, and have a good evening.
The weather's getting nicer, basketball season's heating up, and baseball's around the corner. You know what that means. It's time to win some cash. OP Sportsbook launches in late spring and will provide a fully encrypted and anonymous betting platform where users will bet with stable cryptocurrency. This means that they can place bets with crypto without having to worry about the volatility of crypto. Powered by the Solana blockchain and Web3 technology, opsportsbook.com represents the future of sports betting. 3Pete is proud to partner with them, and always remember to bet responsibly. That's opsportsbook.com.